Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go. Welcome in. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauly. Generally, as I opened up the show, I would tell you everything that's going to be coming up and give you a few initial thoughts. But we're actually going to open up the show today with a guest. We've been talking a little bit about the Blues over the last hour or so during the Rush Hour Sports Hour. Not a great performance as they lose to the Kings yesterday in overtime. Still very early on in the season. But we're going to open up the show just by jumping in, talking a little Blues hockey and the NHL in general. Happy to welcome on to the program. He is Jeff Merrick. Does a lot of things, including a daily program as part of the Daily Faceoff platform, and he joins us right now. Jeff, thanks so much for taking some time, and welcome on to Sports Open Line.
Pleasure is mine. Matt, how are you today? I can't figure out. You're right there. Maybe you can explain this to me. Who are the St. Louis Blues?
That's why I had you on.
I got a lot of questions. Is it the team that we saw against Dallas? Is it the team we saw against L.A.? Which one is it?
Yeah, so this is a weird thing with this team, and it goes beyond Jim Montgomery. It goes beyond the last two. There's been no team, and you follow the league across the board more than I do, so there's no team that more consistently gives great efforts against great teams and follows it up with subpar efforts against not-so-great teams, and it's been going on for a while, and I don't understand why.
You need guys with the killer instinct. I mean, I thought you nailed it off the top. It's still early. Like every conversation right now about the NHL has to be prefaced with it's still early, and it's still too early to notice trends. You know, kind of give it till Thanksgiving, and then we'll start to notice a few more things. But the thing right now, whenever I watch the St. Louis Blues, is who's going to drag them into the fight, right? Like who's dragging them in? And right now, you know, Jake Neighbors is dragging him in. I'm seeing Braden Schenn drag him in. Definitely I'm seeing Tyler Tucker leave everything out there. Nathan Walker at times as well. But you just want other guys that can drag everybody on the team into the fight. Now, it's tough when both your goaltenders are sub-900 save percentage goalies. That's going to change. No matter what you do, if you have goaltenders that are in the 800s, you're not going to do much as a squad. But as I look at St. Louis right now, like, you'll put together one good period, maybe two, but I'm still waiting to see this team consistently put together three solid periods and guys distinguishing themselves as guys that'll drag the rest of the squad into a fight. Haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, you know, today in practice, they shuffled the lines again. This is already the third or fourth time that they've shuffled lines this year. And the top line is going to have Robert Thomas and Jordan Kyrou in addition to Pavel Buchnevich. Jeff, it feels like they do this a lot where they put Thomas and Kyrou together and then it just doesn't work and they go away from it. And you know, you talk about teams, you know, who's going to drag the team in. You would love it for it to be Thomas and Kyrou, but so far, as talented as those guys are, you don't feel like those are the guys leading the way in that area.
Yeah, I see. I tend not to worry about Robert Thomas too much, just because of the body of work that we've seen before from Robert Thomas. So if he has a slow start, I kind of shrug it off. You know, I know the player that he is, and know that he's a legit number one center in the NHL. The Kyrou story is a little bit different, right? Like, we all know about the speed. We all know about how dynamic he is with his feet. You know, red line to red line, he's an outstanding hockey player. The challenge is get that little round black thing over the red line. But sometimes they try to make it fit and it doesn't work and they go away. And then it's almost that, you know, that safety and security blanket of putting those two together. So far it hasn't clicked, but as much as I don't worry about Robert Thomas, because I know what you're getting there, I still, like, I'm with, you know, some of the St. Louis hockey observers here. I still have some curious questions. How about that? About Jordan Kyrou, on the first line.
A lot of people got really excited in that Dallas game because that was one of Kyrou's best two-way games that we've ever seen him play. He scored a goal, had a number of good defensive plays, and you just want to see more of that from Kyrou, but you haven't seen it in a game-in, game-out basis yet.
It's the story of the St. Louis Blues, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, last year it was like good vibes, good goaltending, everybody playing as a unit, and that was awesome, and the team makes the playoffs. Where many hockey observers and hockey fans at the beginning of last season didn't have them in the postseason. The story for the St. Louis Blues so far this season has been inconsistency. You're right, inconsistency of player, inconsistency of team. Like, I go up and down the lineup, and listen, bless Jake Neighbors, but I can't find one guy that I can look at and say he's turned in a performance that we expect from this player consistently all season long, even though I know we're, what, seven games into it. I'm just not seeing it, and I don't think I'm in the minority there. It's kind of a team that's just, you're waiting for something to happen, right? Like, I'm waiting for something to pop here with the St. Louis Blues. You know, sometimes it takes one of those, like, crazy games where there's, like, candy in the penalty box and everybody follows it, and the team sort of pops as a squad, and it takes them on a big winning streak. Sometimes it takes something like hockey dumb like that to happen. Whatever it is, we're still waiting for it to happen with the St. Louis Blues. And usually what dovetails with that is an identity that you build on for the remainder of the season. Haven't seen that yet. You can really see the frustration and hear the frustration with Jim Montgomery. He knows what he has and he knows the potential. We're just not seeing it yet from the Blues.
Is there anything yet across the NHL that you've taken note of that feels real? I mean, Penguins have gone off to a kind of a surprising start. The Panthers and the Lightning have not played as well as you might expect. We already saw the Islanders fire their goalie coach trying to get... Yeah. All these storylines are interesting, but I don't know how many of them are actually, like, really impactful and long-lasting.
Vegas is really good.
Okay.
And Vegas is going to be good all season. I think that's legit. I don't think that's fool's gold. I don't think the Detroit Red Wings are going to be the class of the Atlantic Division, but it's fun to watch. The Montreal Canadiens, I'll tell you, the Montreal Canadiens have been and have become must-watch television. Now, they're young, but it's a really exciting, fun team to watch. You mentioned the goaltending situation or the goalie coach situation with the New York Islanders. That's more of a nod to Ilya Sorokin bringing in his summer goalie coach to try to help him get back to the standard that he's been in his career previous. To me, Vegas is a major story here. The Carolina Hurricanes, I think we all wonder about, is there enough there now that they can, you know, not just be the team that gets to the Eastern Conference Final and then flames out? They brought in Keandre Miller from the New York Rangers. He's been fantastic for them. Nikolaj Ehlers comes in from the Winnipeg Jets. Logan Stankoven now playing second-line center, so they're still looking to do some business and bring in a second-line center, but they just finally dropped their first game of the season earlier this week. I think that's, again, a legitimate team. But still, like, there are some squads that we look at and say, okay, we're ready for you to take your next step. I wonder about the Anaheim Ducks. Could that be the surprise team in the West that is right there on the verge? And Pat Verbeek, their general manager, made a lot of big offseason moves, again, to move things forward and push that team to the next level. And then there's Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers. You know, two Stanley Cup final appearances in a row for Edmonton. Speculation is they still have the horses to get there. They've had a slow start, but let's not forget they've played all the way to the Stanley Cup final, just like the Florida Panthers. The only problem is they haven't come away with the big cup.
Very few people out there, if anybody covers the league better than Jeff Merrick. Jeff, give a plug for the programs you do at Daily Faceoff, because I know awesome. People would love to see it.
Yeah, thanks. So the main one for me is a program called The Sheet. You can listen to it wherever you get your podcasts. You can watch it on our Daily Faceoff YouTube channel, 1 to 2 Eastern, Monday to Friday. NHL guests, NHL rumors, NHL stories, NHL news. We wrap it all up inside of 1 hour.
Awesome. Very good. Jeff, thank you so much for your time. Hopefully we can chat again down the line.
Matt, you call anytime, pal.
Awesome. Thanks so much. That's Jeff Merrick joining us on the program. Got some messages on the text line and on the video chat liking what Jeff was saying. Yeah, he's a great hockey guest. Love being able to talk with him, and I really mean it. There's very few people out there who are in touch with the entire league the way Jeff is. So great to be able to talk with him. Also great to be able to talk with Bernie Miklas. He's going to join us in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Back at it's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We take you until 8 o'clock this evening. Very happy to welcome onto the program, courtesy of Saliga Heating and Cooling. It is our good friend Bernie Miklas. You read him and you watch him over at STL Sports Central. And, of course, he's absolutely everywhere on KMOX Sports on a Sunday morning. Chris and Amy, Dave Glover, Rush Hour Sports. He's on with us on Mondays and Fridays. And on Wednesdays, we get to talk to him here on Sports Open Line. Hey, Bernie.
I'm always delighted to be with you, Matt Pauly. How you doing tonight?
I am good. It's good to be able to talk to you. I enjoyed your video today, and Kevin and I talked a lot about this during Rush Hour Sports because it all started with something that Jim Montgomery had said yesterday about injuries, how you have a groin injury, and the next thing you might know, you might have a sports hernia. You got an arm issue. Next thing you might know, you got a shoulder. And we see that happen with specifically Brendan Donovan, where one thing led to another. And you talked about today how that can impact trade values and things like that. I found it interesting that we continue to talk about this with the Cardinals, where them not sitting guys down is having, unfortunately, a residual effect all the way here into the offseason.
And I think people need to understand what we're talking about. And you and I and Kevin are on the same page here. We admire people. We admire athletes who try to play hurt, play with pain. They don't feel good. Something's really sore. Much respect to those guys, but that's not what we're talking about here. There is a huge difference between playing hurt and playing injured. Playing injured in a way where, number one, it clearly has an adverse effect on your performance. And number two, by continuing to play on something that is injured, you also have a much greater risk of making it worse or incurring another injury that's related. And that's exactly what happened to Brendan Donovan. And I was raising Cain about this all last summer. I didn't understand what the point was when they could have shut him down early in June to let that toe heal, and then it's behind him. But instead, it kept running him out there every day. And I understand that he's a great competitor, a great teammate. He wants to play. Kept running him out there, running him out there, running him out there. Okay, then all of a sudden there's a groin injury. Okay, well, still kept running him out there and finally shut him down, and he missed a month. But his season was never the same, although his overall numbers were fine. But for about 2.5 months, he really didn't hit. And then, okay, so you have the toe injury that leads to the groin injury, which Brendan Donovan acknowledged. And then that leads to hernia surgery. Tell me how that was smart.
I remember standing there in the scrum in the Cardinals clubhouse the day Brendan Donovan talked about how the finger thing turned, or the toe thing, I should say, turned into the groin thing. And it's like, okay, these guys know this. And then again, that audio yesterday with Jim Montgomery going through what a lot of people know, it's just... I respect guys who want to play through it. And you mentioned the whole, you know, injury versus, I think anybody who played high school football probably have a version of the, you know, coaches, are you hurt or are you injured? Like, it's something that is pushed into us very early on, yet at the highest level, sometimes it almost gets forgotten about.
That's right. And see, there's a lot at stake here. Now, that said, it's not like Brendan Donovan's obligation to say, well, they might want to trade me this offseason, so I better, you know, take it really easy. And, you know, I don't want to do anything to hurt the Cardinals. He's not going to think that. No one should ask him to think that. But that said, you know, Chaim Bloom goes in his first offseason. I know that there's a lot he wants to get done. Now he's got Lars Nootbaar with the double heel surgery. And his trade value, I have to imagine, was already down because of the constant injuries. Now you add two surgeries on his heels to it. And no one seems to know for sure what his recovery time will be. I don't think it'll be quite as bad as some are making it now. But the point is, he was a guy we all viewed as a really good trade candidate who had some value because other teams have been asking for him. Well, what's his trade value going to be now? And with Donovan, I think Donovan is their biggest chip to play. And I think there's a lot of interest in him, but he had the elbow surgery. He, you know, battled through injuries this year. He'll be 29. He plays so hard that he beats himself up. So I wonder whether his teams will look at him differently now. It's like, well, wait a minute. Is he kind of damaged goods? Is he heading to that phase of his career where maybe he starts to decline a little early? I'm just saying, it's not a good thing to be going in the offseason. Two guys you were perhaps looking to trade, or at least going to explore. We don't know how much interest there is. And I, you know, with Donovan, there will be interest, but will there be as much as we would have anticipated? I don't know.
I preface this with, I want to see the Cardinals bring as much talent in the organization as possible, but Bernie, maybe I'm just a little bit jaded here. I don't know. I'm at a point right now where I almost care less about what the return is versus me wanting to see guys on the team who are part of like the long-term plan. So if Lars Nootbaar is not part of the long-term plan, well, you can get something for him. I'm not talking about non-tendering the guy, but if you trade him for a lottery ticket, that I'm not going to be upset about that. Now, if they still continue to view Nootbaar as a guy who they can have on this team long-term, okay, that's fine. But I'm just, right now where I'm at with this team, I'm less worried about the return, and I'm more worried about this team becoming the closest version of what they're going to eventually become, if that makes sense.
No, I'm with you 100%. Totally with you on that. And look, Brendan Donovan's a good player, and he's a popular player, and he's probably the closest thing the Cardinals have to a star. And he was an all-star. And I understand the sentiment of fans who say, you know, he's a really good player. Why would they trade him? Well, because by every indication is they have no intention in signing him to a long-term contract extension because he's going to be 29 years old, and you don't do that. And if you're not going to sign him to a long-term contract extension, and he has 2 years before become a free agent, and those 2 years of service before he become a free agent, that's really valuable for teams that are interested in him. So, well, we can have him for 2 years. It's not like he's going to walk away after 1 year. So if you're not going to keep him and you're in a rebuild mode, which they are, and you got a 29-year-old guy, it just makes no sense whatsoever to let him walk in a couple years and maybe you get a draft pick. It just doesn't make any sense.
That second year of control, I remember this, it's not completely an apples to apples, but I remember when Tommy Edman had signed that contract extension with the Cardinals. He got 2 years. And I was sitting, I think, in the sports office with Kevin Wheeler, and I looked at him and said, he's going to get traded. They just gave him a second year. That makes him more valuable as a trade asset. The moment I saw 2 years for Edmund, I knew he was going to get traded. I think sometimes we discount just the value that other teams look at guys when they get that second year.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big deal, man. It's tough to trade for a walk-year player. I mean, I know that some teams are totally fine trading for a guy who's got the full season rather than, say, getting him at the deadline and he's a walk-year player. So he still has value, but, man, but you know you're going to have him in your lineup for two seasons rather than one or a half a season. That obviously makes the player more valuable as a trade piece.
We're talking with Bernie Miklas. Tony Vitello today named the manager of the San Francisco Giants, a DeSmet kid, a Mizzou kid, a first ever college baseball coach with no professional experience coming in. When I say professional baseball, not that he's not professional what he does. It's a big swing by Buster Posey and the Giants, and it's going to be fun to watch.
Listen, I love this, and I'm not saying it's just because he's from St. Louis, right? I just love this because, you know, Buster Posey, who was a really kind of old school player when he's catching for the Giants, I think it's wild that this is what he wants to do. And I think it's awesome because I think we ought to see this more often, because Major League Baseball players are getting younger and younger and younger, and they're coming to the majors sooner. You know, this whole thing where you have a really talented player, but he's got to marinate in the minors for 4 or 5 years. I think that stuff's gone. Some players need to do that. But the guys who have the talent, we're seeing teams just get to the major leagues in a much shorter time now. So I think we're going to see that trend continue. And I think we're going to see younger and younger players, maybe teams that become a lot younger because of being more open about bringing guys up to the major leagues, you know, at age 21, 22, whatever. See, I think a guy like Vitello is perfect for that. Like that people say, well, this is really risky. Well, I don't know if it is. I mean, every managing hires a risk. Maybe there's more to this because it's never been done before, straight from college to Major League Baseball. But I think it kind of fits the changing times in Major League Baseball. I also think they'll be smart enough to have a good coaching staff around him. And listen, the people that are saying, well, boy, you know, at Tennessee, he was feisty. He was overly aggressive. He was flamboyant. He was this, he was that. Listen, he's got a lot of personality, but he's also an extremely smart football guy. And does anybody think he's going to go into Major League clubhouse and, you know, just like this constant rah, rah, rah stuff, or like, you know, throw equipment around if they lose? No, he's not an idiot. He'll adjust. But you know, one other thing about it real quick, I've always loved the San Francisco baseball crowds. I think it's a great, great atmosphere for baseball. It's an eccentric franchise. It's a colorful franchise. It's a little crazy in a good way. And I think he's an ideal fit. This is the ideal place for this type of experiment, if you want to call it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it is. And it's, again, I think anytime somebody does something outside of the box, it's fun to see if it's going to work or not. The analogy isn't spot on because Pat Murphy, when he got done with college baseball, was a minor league manager, a major league bench coach, and then a major league manager. So he obviously had a lot of experience. But who Pat Murphy is as a baseball guy, Bernie, is based off who he came up as the college coach at Notre Dame and at Arizona. Even though it's not exactly the same, and Murph obviously had a lot more experience in professional baseball, I do wonder, do teams look at the Milwaukee Brewers and look at Pat Murphy and say, there's kind of a college guy who's doing this, maybe that skill set can work at the major league level?
Well, absolutely. And you know, in Vitello's case, I mean, he's a great baseball man. He's a great baseball coach. And, you know, it's not like he's some crazy man who, you know, well, why are they hiring this flaky guy and all this other stuff? Well, Max Scherzer loves him. Max Scherzer would be the first guy to go to every team and say, hire this guy. He's brilliant. So, I'm really looking forward to seeing how this turns out, but this is one outstanding leader, one outstanding manager. And I think, what do we talk about with a lot of baseball teams? They don't have an identity. I'm not sure what their identity is, right? With him, whatever team he's managing, and now it's the Giants, they will absolutely have an identity. He'll instill that in them. And I think I think Buster Posey got sick of watching, you know, Bob Melvin just standing there like without emotion, and, you know, for 2 years, and just, you know, kind of like, well, what's the point of this? Everybody's dead down there. You know, I love this. It'll be a spectacular success, or of course, maybe a spectacular failure, but it's worth trying.
Last thing for you very quickly, whether it was Craig Berube post Stanley Cup, Drew Bannister, or Jim Montgomery, very consistently during the last few years of Blues hockey, when they go have a fantastic performance against a really good team and then have a bad team coming in, they follow that up with a subpar effort. They do it again last night. Bernie Miklas, why?
I'm really disappointed. Listen, I'm one of these things. It's a long season. Let's all calm down. But I don't understand the wild fluctuations. I don't understand how you at home, where you've already not played well, and you know, I think you owe your fans better effort. How can you have 8 shots on goal in the first 2 periods? How does that even happen? You know?
Yeah.
That's a team that's not working hard enough. And something's got to change. You know, Jim Montgomery has shown time and time again, he's an excellent motivator. He knows how to get a team ready. It's not just what he did here in St. Louis. You know, it's what he did with Boston when he went in there the first year. It's what he did in Dallas when he got that job. I mean, he makes teams better. He's one of the winningest coaches in terms of winning percentage in the history of the league. What is it about this team that just, you know, apparently effort's optional now or something like that? I don't know. Very disappointing, but yeah, long, long way to go. I'm sure they'll get it straightened out, but I'd like to see it happen sooner than later.
I would as well. He is Bernie Miklas. Always love being able to talk with him. Bernie, before we get you out of here, can you share with us a little bit about Saliga Heating and Cooling?
Absolutely. I'm proud to represent Saliga Heating and Cooling here on Camo X. It's a Daikin Comfort dealer, and the Saliga family continuously has been taking care of generations of St. Louisans since 1927. I could just stop at that. I mean, seriously, you've been taking care of multiple St. Louis generations. The same family has been taking care of other St. Louisans since 1927, nearly 100 years ago. Enough said. You got to be great at what you do for this to just keep rolling on and on and on. And Dan Saliga is the fourth owner operator of the family business. He's proud of that family name. He's proud of the business. He's proud of the tradition. And he works his tail off, and his whole staff does, because they want to maintain the highest of standards. And they also want your business. They want to keep your business. They want you to be someone who will always call them. And that's why you get their best every single time out. And we know this because the Miklases have been calling Saliga for 17 years for help in heating and cooling and a couple other things. Utmost integrity, professionalism, knowledge. They know what they're doing. Any type of equipment will do. Business, home, they got it all covered, and you can count on their honesty, and they're not going to hustle you, try to upsell you for something more expensive. In our experiences, I like to tell people, they always go the other way, always. They look for the least expensive solution because, again, why spend money when you don't have to if something that's less expensive will take care of it? This is among the many reasons we love Saliga Heating and Cooling, and also check out their Priority Club. It's a maintenance plan that's going to save you money by extending the life of your current equipment. I'll get out of here just by giving you the website. You can find the phone number there and all the list of services they have. Go to SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com. Thank you.
Back at it. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you till 8 o'clock tonight. We still have coming up on the show. We're going to, by the way, we've just had like a whirlwind of a program here through the first 45 minutes. We jumped out of the show with a conversation with Jeff Merrick. Then Bernie Miklas with us. We haven't really even set up what's coming up on the show. Our friend Danny Wexelman, St. Louisan, part of the team at ESPN and SiriusXM, is going to join us at about 7:20. She'll be our final guest for the night. And then we will hear some of what Jim Montgomery had to say earlier today. We'll play back some of his comments around 7:35 or so. So that's all going to be coming up. Got a few messages coming in on the video stream that I wanted to address. Our good friend Deadly said, my guess is we're about to see 4 straight years of really bad baseball, at least. The DeWitts are going to tell us the team is broke financially, so they have to start moneyballing. I disagree. And you know what? The good thing about conversations like this is we can always come back to it and see who was right and who was wrong. And there are things I get wrong, And I think for those of you who listen to me on an everyday basis, when I do get things wrong, I am more than willing to tell you that I got it wrong. I think that, again, when people are critical of the DeWitts and their willingness to spend money, the question I always ask, and bluntly I have not gotten a good answer back from the people who are critical of the DeWitts, is if this is an ownership group that doesn't want to spend money, if this is an ownership group that just wants to take as much money out of the organization as possible, if this is an ownership group that just wants to go make money off Ballpark Village and nothing else, those are some of the criticisms that are levied in their direction. Why are they spending tons and tons and tons of money on the infrastructure of the organization? If they didn't care about winning, if they didn't care about getting things right, they don't have to spend that money. And again, like going back to the Ballpark Village thing, if all they care about is just being able to be as profitable as possible at the major league level, then what you do is you take that money and you put it towards the major league roster and you stay a little bit more competitive than they've been the last couple years. And then you draw more people to the ballpark that way because the team's better. They're not doing that. They're taking money. They're spending a lot of it, but they're putting it in places where you're not going to see it for a while. And I don't know if people completely understand and can appreciate the amount of money that is being spent by ownership on these behind-the-scenes things. And some of this money is money that's going to extend. If you're adding positions to your organization, if you are hiring people, lots of people, and they hired a lot of people last offseason, and they're going to hire more people this offseason. If you just keep hiring more people, guess what? That's not a one-time expenditure. That's a, we're paying this dude or this lady every 2 weeks for the foreseeable future, and this position for the foreseeable future. And they're bringing in very smart people. When they brought in Rob Serfolio, like in the comparatively compared to a major league salary, no. But overall speaking, I'm sure Rob Serfolio didn't come in cheap. I'm sure Larry Day didn't come in cheap. I'm sure Matt Parapont, like these guys came into St. Louis to do jobs, and they're really highly respected individuals who I'm sure are paid very well for their jobs. When they're putting millions of dollars into the minor league, or not the minor league, but the spring training facility, again, if you want to tell me that the DeWitts don't want to spend money, and I show you this money that they're spending that doesn't even have a direct connection to what's going on at the major league level, there's not much of an answer to that. So, no, I disagree. I disagree. I think that they are going to, I'm not saying they're going to be really good right away. I'm curious what this offseason is going to look like. This past year, the ceiling was sneaking into the playoffs. Can we all agree on that? The true ceiling of the team this past year was them being a team that could play just well enough to sneak into the playoffs. They came up short of that. They did not reach their ceiling. I don't see a reason why next year's team won't basically have the same ceiling. And that may not be what you want to hear, but it feels like it's going to be very similar to that. But if they're continuing to do work to raise the overall level of the organization, I think once they get these players in place and once they get this minor league system humming along again where you are producing high-end players, you know, we mentioned the other day, difference between the Blue Jays and the Cardinals from position player standpoint, Cardinals' best hitter would be the Blue Jays' fourth best hitter. You need three more hitters that are better than anybody that you have currently on the roster to start to get towards the direction of being the Toronto Blue Jays. That's heavy lifting. That's not even talking about the Dodgers. Dodgers, that's not really an attainable type thing. But even Toronto, you've got a ways to get there. One more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one of the program. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Live. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Just a couple minutes left here in hour number one of the program. Hour number two will feature a conversation with Danny Wexelman. We'll also hear from Blues coach Jim Montgomery. He met with the media earlier today. Programming note for you, tomorrow we have a Thursday night football, so we'll only have a half hour of Sports Open Line tomorrow night. We'll do the full rush hour sports from 5 to 6, and then 6 to 6:30 you'll get me, and 6:30 Westwood One will take over. And you will get coverage of the Vikings and the Chargers. That's an interesting game. Two teams I think are not bad. I think the Vikings are better than that 3-3 record. And so we'll see how things go. Got another message on the stream that I wanted to address. Carlos sends in a message. Says the winter meetings are coming up. What are the Cardinals looking for? I don't want to see a rebuilding team. I've seen it all after the 1987 season all the way until 1996. We'll talk about this more as we get closer to the winter meetings. We're, what, like 6 weeks away from winter meetings? Yeah, so December 8th is when the winter meetings start down in Orlando. It's going to be interesting. And bluntly, the winter meetings have been boring for the last few years. And there is a good possibility that the winter meetings will be boring again this year. And there's, from a local standpoint, we know that the Cardinals want to move on from players. We know that that group that includes Brendan Donovan and Lars Nootbaar and Nolan Gorman and Alec Burleson and Nolan Arenado, that two or three of those guys are going to get traded this offseason. What we don't know is what the market is going to look like 1 year in front of the CBA expiring. Because I think both teams and players are going to be looking for some different things, knowing the CBA is up in a year. I would guess that teams are going to be looking for more one-year deals when it comes to free agents. I'm guessing free agents are going to be looking for more multi-year deals. And then how does that impact the trade market? I think it will. I hope I'm wrong. I have this feeling of dread that the winter meetings are again kind of going to be a big nothing burger. And I hope that's not true because I like it when I'm there and stuff is happening. I'm just not convinced if it's going to happen that early this year on the offseason. This is KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.